Within marriage, there is a relief of insecurity and mutual assurance of beauty, enjoyed and expressed appropriately to the glory of God. But those who do not wish to glorify God with their bodies still share the craving for affirmation and validation. Rather than following God's prescribed means to satisfy that craving, transgender ideology ascends to the zenith of idolatry in its emphasis on self-love. Sex within marriage celebrates the beauty of the body as God made it and in the way He intended. Transgender ideology, on the other hand, celebrates the distortion of the body as man reimagines it, contrary to God's intention. Instead of revealing the innermost self and most private parts to one person with whom a covenant has been made, transgenderism exalts one's self-perception. According to that worldview, the most beautiful thing is a person living as his authentic self, without finding satisfaction and easing of insecurity through the means provided by God. The only option is to turn inward and constantly alter and destroy the body, fraught with so many self-conscious insecurities, with the ultimate goal of bringing an end to all of them by making the body exactly as the self imagines it. The promise of this deceptive philosophy is self-satisfaction, self-confidence, and perfect self-love. Of course, it comes up short, and insecurities still abound, so once again, we find that transgenderism cannot survive without public affirmation. Even for the most confident individual, it is not enough to be self-assured in one's own beauty. There is still a yearning for recognition from another. While the biblical model achieves this by humble, mutual self-giving within marriage, the self-centered transgender model can only hope to reach it by extortion. So for anyone who has ever wondered why there is such a push to allow individuals who identify as transgender to use the bathrooms of their choice or play on whichever sports team they desire, for those who have been exasperated by videos on social media of workers being shamed for failing to use ideologically correct pronouns, for those baffled by the insistence on terms such as pregnant persons or chest feeding, for all who have been enraged by school curricula that teach small children this perversion of truth, it is because transgenderism cannot survive without public affirmation. By its self-centered rebellion against the truth, transgender ideology has forsaken God's ordained means of addressing insecurity, so it must demand public celebration and recognition. Transgenderism is abundantly isolating, as any worldview that exalts the self above all would be. This isolation not only robs the individual of the assurance and affirmation found in marriage, but also spurns the possibility of the closeness God designed husbands and wives to have. Christians ought to be prepared to answer the various challenges posed by transgender ideology with all the depth and philosophical comprehensiveness that can be mined from Scripture. Nevertheless, we cannot be hesitant to point out the glaringly obvious. It does not work. God created male and female bodies to fit together in intimate union, the closest physical relationship imaginable. This is described poetically in Song of Solomon. My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies. 6:2-3. Genesis describes it in a much more plain and familiar way. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. God created men and women to become one flesh, with parts and functions to do so. This is a type of general revelation so obvious that it takes an absurd level of suppression to ignore or deny it.